Hello and welcome to Paradox, Untold Stories from Athletic Directors with Dr. Danielle Lapointe and Dr. Dustin Smith. We have some crazy and unique stories for you, which are made possible by our sponsor, Wall of Fame. At the Wall of Fame, our mission is to bring your school's legacy to life. We transform school tributes to make it easier than ever to celebrate your whole community, showcasing your school's diverse history, proudest moments, and top role models. We understand that the true value of our Wall of Fame is in your content. Whether you are starting a new tribute or adding to an existing one, we give you all the resources you need to build an interactive experience and take your content to the next level. Speaking of next level, let's check in to see what Danielle and Dustin have for us today.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode. Today, we have Dustin Williams with us. How are you doing today, Dustin?
I'm doing good. How are y'all?
Good. There are Dustins everywhere. I just feel like I'm being overwhelmed with Dustins from all ends.
If one is phenomenal, what does two make?
Too much.
I mean, what is beyond too that? That's my Dustin. Question.
Right.
We have to differentiate you guys today from Dustin with hair and Dustin without hair. That's how we're going to go down this road.
Yeah. I have to wear it. I can't argue that one.
Or not wear it.
Right. Or not wear it. I mean, God only made so many perfect heads, the rest he put hair on.
That's right. I'm with you.
That's what I believe. So, man, I'm excited. I've been excited about this episode. Dustin, I've known Dustin for a couple years now as an AD in Arkansas back in my former life, not all that long ago. But Dustin is an AD at East End Public Charter Schools in Arkansas. And we can talk about what that is, and we will. We'll dive into that a little bit. But Dustin has been on a quick track of learning, of diving into what this AD world is, and he's attended several classes, and against his better judgment, he went to a session taught by Danielle last year at Arkansas AD. We're going to throw jabs. Let's go ahead and get him out of the way. But he did go to he attended a session that Danielle taught, which actually was a really good session. She called it the Department of One, and it's something that she has perfected, and Dustin could probably relate to a lot of that scenarios that she put forward. So very smart of him to go to that session. But Dustin's been a faithful listener to this program. He texted me last week and just said, man, this was a great episode, and sent me the episode that was great that he's listened to. And I said, man, let's get you on here. And so Dustin has jumped on. He's willing. He said, man, just tell me when. I'm in. And you got to understand, I want our listeners to understand, he's a year and a half into this AD role. And he's got several stories already, which
he's
we'll jump into and discuss.
I
want to start with, Dustin, I guess I'll get to this secondly. The first thing I want to do is tell everybody what the resume doesn't tell us about who Dustin Williams is. What do you do outside of this crazy world we call athletic administration? I know you used to be a basketball coach. You talked about you have a two-year-old going to soccer practice this weekend and what that looks like. So what does Dustin Williams look like outside of being an AD?
Well, for sure. So, you know, I've been married 3 years. My lovely wife, Logan Williams, it's kind of funny. She goes by her middle name personally, so we call her Logan. She works for the school, and, you know, she goes by her first name, which is Shay. And so the first year when I was the girls' basketball coach, like, they knew my wife was Logan, but then they saw me with Shay, and they knew that I was married to Shay and Logan. So I was figuring out that that was the same person. So I think that they probably thought that I had two different wives. Sister wives, same person, but, you know, goes by two different names. So that throws everybody through a loop. So, 2-year-old son, Nash, we're bringing another son into the world in July, which is why I won't be at Border States this year. But away from sports, I mean, we're involved in all kinds of sports. I coached them all, played them all. My wife and my mother-in-law both played higher level basketball than me in college. My mother-in-law actually played for Joe Foley when he was at Arkansas Tech. So even when I was coaching, you know, those car rides home where the kids get it from the parents, you know, I think that sometimes we helped evaluate my coaching as well, because there's a lot of people around me that knew basketball as well as I did. So you'd get home and be like, why'd you do that when you did it? And so, but we're big time Razorback fanatics. I mean, me and my dad's in the starting lineups for the baseball team back and forth. We like right now how it changes. So anything Razorback basketball, football, baseball, gymnastics, like, we'll watch them all. we're a big time Disney family. So before I met my wife, I went to Disneyland once and Disney World none. And since we go about once or twice a year. And Nash has already been to Disney World twice and Disneyland once because it's free before three. So he's enjoying Disney World and Disneyland. So we're big time Disney people, but that's just a little bit. Disney, Razorbacks, sports, you name it. We do coach AAU in the summer, so we're still around it.
Now, there's two statements you made I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. Number one, you said, we evaluated my coaching. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, hey, I evaluated. It was we. So your wife and your mother-in-law.
Myself, my dad, my mom. We're all very basketball-minded.
We collectively evaluated.
What decisions were made in those games. So.
Or not made.
Yeah.
So there was a guy when I was at the college level, he used to come in all the time the day after a game. And he'd always say, Dustin, I specialize in what he should have done. Mm-hmm. So he would always second guess. He'd come in the day after and say, man, we should have done this. He said, I've never watched.
It kind of makes it okay when you're owning it like that, though.
Yeah, I mean, he was in his 70s, and he just came in and said, hey, I could tell you what he should have done. He'd walk down and tell the coach, hey, you should have made that shot. You know, if you'd have made that shot, we'd have won instead of lost or whatever. But
oh, and, you know, and it's, you know, part of always growing and, you know, knowing yourself. And, you know, like I said, they're all extremely supportive. Like, I'm not saying that at all, but, like, anytime I needed to bounce any kind of question off of, instead of even going to my coaching buddies, it's like, you know, I've got, you know,
built-in coaches.
Yeah, basketball coaches all in my family to talk to. So
you mentioned that statement, so that caught me. And then you said before you got married, you'd been to Disney World once.
Yeah, Disneyland once and Disney World none. Been to Universal down there for a senior trip. But
Danielle, she can go to Disney. I have zero desire. I've got two daughters, and I've lived on this earth as long as I have without being there. And my wife just wears me out saying, you got to go. It's an experience. Your girl's got to go. I'm just too cheap, number one. I'm just too cheap. So I like what you said, free before three. I should have thought of that back when they were young, but I haven't done that. So anyway, I digress. I can get into that for a little bit. And I know the Razorback fanatics that – it's not just Dustin. It's about everybody that's inside the state of Arkansas that are just bought into what Arkansas Razorbacks. I wish people outside the state knew just what it meant inside the state. But unfortunately, it's a fanaticism that is just simply in Arkansas. And they eat, sleep, breathe, die, whatever, Arkansas. And it doesn't matter the sport. So I understand that. So Dustin,
me and my dad were at the World Series game, and that's about all you have to say.
Right.
So, yeah, about that play. So yeah,
that wasn't Oregon State's fault.
Right.
But, anyway, it didn't work out well for Arkansas. We'll say that. So let's talk about where you're located. And we ask this question all the time. And then when we talk about where you're located, we're going to dive in. I know Danielle's got some questions about your school and just how that's set up. So paint on a map where you're located in the state of Arkansas.
So I'm originally from Paris, Arkansas, which is, you know, right below Northwest Arkansas, kind of that Western Arkansas River Valley. I was fortunate enough to grow up there and coach the girls basketball team there for 3 years. You know, met my wife. She's originally from Bryant, which is down here in central Arkansas. So we made the move to East M to coach girls basketball. And then I eventually became the AD. But Little Rock is right here, just smack dab in the middle of central Arkansas. Like, it's not that hard to explain or to find. If there's about two cities you can think of that you know the location of are probably Fayetteville and Little Rock. So, but we're a public charter school here at East M. We have two junior high campuses and two elementary school campuses. All four of them are located in downtown heart of Little Rock. And then our high school campus is actually located on the University of Arkansas Little Rock campus. So
that means, go into that a little bit further. What exactly does that mean that is where your high school is housed? Because we were chatting before we started recording, and you kind of drop this bomb casually of what that means. So Yeah, lay that out for us.
So our downtown junior high and downtown elementary are like literally downtown Little Rock, like 3rd Street, right behind the River Market, just where restaurants, shops, everything is. And so, you know, two lanes of traffic both ways. And so school arrival, school dismissal, one of those lanes are blocked off. You know, kids going into the elementary school on one side, the junior high on the other, you know, old Democrat Gazette building, another building we bought. Downtown by the Clinton Library, we built a brand new junior high and elementary school. That's our East Village, and they're the smaller of our schools. And then we have a two-story building at UALR that we built just for educational purposes. But yeah, no, there's no gym, no football field, no facilities. So with a lot of rentals.
Go ahead, Danielle. I know you got them.
Just no facilities. Like, that's a hard concept for me to wrap my brain around. It's one thing when you're like, we don't
facilities.
Have. Right. Yeah. Right. Well, that's all. Yes, that's what we're talking. That's the theme. Athletics is the theme here.
Want to clarify.
Yeah. Right. But I just, there's one thing, you know, you hear people say we don't have enough facilities, or, you know, we have here, here, maybe in between like both seasons, we have, you know, we might use a park over here, but you have zero facilities, period.
Right. So we, like I said, at Euler, we use their student activity center for basketball practice. So that houses both of our varsity basketball teams. Our cheer and dance can practice over there. Our cross country uses the nature trail over there. Our soccer teams walk across the street and use their intramural fields for soccer. So it's building that relationship. But then, like, our junior highs and elementary schools downtown, we currently don't have volleyball. No charter school has football. That's just something that hasn't came to Arkansas charter school wise, because a lot of charter schools, if they had their own facilities, they've bought out an older facility and made it their own. So our downtown junior high and East Village junior high, they were two different school teams when I got here. But I didn't think we were necessarily big enough to have a team that's primarily in 4A and then two junior highs in this random conference. Like, we almost felt divided. And so this year we combined both our junior high teams into one. So it's two different school buildings, but they're one team about a mile apart from each other. But we have our junior high girls at one community center, our 7th, 8th grade boys at another community center, our 9th grade boys are at a Boys and Girls Club. And we have two school vans. We don't have any buses. So it's a lot of – we rely on our parents. We rely on our coaches. Transportation-wise, so a lot of waivers are signed.
Your day looks very different than an AD who has facilities on their campus, even if they're not enough or adequate. Your day looks different. I mean, you have a lot of organization and planning that goes into that. I mean,
a lot of prayer. You're hoping that there's not, you're hoping that, you know, all your rental facilities that you use are open and that there's not something going on. Because like I said, you know, it's one thing when you can go and check your own stuff, but when you're relying on somebody to open it up for you and you're relying on it to be ready and you're relying on, you know, everything to be working properly, you can only get there so many hours in advance, you know, to solve a problem. So you're always hopeful.
My baseball and softball field were off campus at a community park, and that was stressful enough. I can't even imagine if all of my,
you know,
sports were off campus. I mean, just those two bigger sports alone was like, you're right. Like, I can't control if they close the field,
right,
if it's due to weather. I can't control if they turn the lights on or off. Like, you're just putting something you're supposed to be responsible for in someone else's hands, and it's really nerve wracking. So I'm sure you have a whole bunch of questions, like, stories just from that alone. Like, I can't. The transportation fact alone, getting these kids to where they need to be, like, that's a lot. That's just a lot that goes into all of that.
Well, for sure. But, you know, we make it work. But I got weather bug pulled up right now because it's Arkansas weather and it feels great outside. But, you know, our baseball field's in North Little Rock, and so I'm in Little Rock, so I, you know, that couple miles could be a completely different, you know, thing as far as weather goes. And so, yeah, you're hoping for the phone call that says, hey, the fields are still good, and, you know, but kind of like when we listen to these podcasts and we understand when you go to your first convention, like the biggest difference from coach to AD is the ADs are in it together. And so, you know, a lot of the ADs that we're in the conference with understand our situation. So there's kind of like, hey, you know, I know we're going to be over here. Y'all still good. Like, y'all need anything when we come. So, you know, it's that working relationship. But yeah, I mean, there's some stories that we've inherited, but we just kind of, we make do. Heaters, lights, whatever we need to jump into.
Well, that's the crazy thing for you is that, I mean, you're renting facilities. Mm-hmm. So you're at the mercy of those facilities being open and clean and prepared. And we'll dive into some of that stuff. I know in a bit, but I want this educational situation. So Danielle, he said the Clinton Library is in Little Rock. Okay. Do you know why the Clinton Library is in Little Rock?
Why is it in Little Rock? No. Should I know?
Well, I mean, if you know anything about our country, and this president was alive during your time.
Yes, when Clinton. You were alive. I know who he is. He's president. But like, was there a very like specific reason for him to pick that location?
Well, he was the governor of Arkansas.
Well, then maybe that's why. I don't know.
but yes, he is. There's a reason why, yes. But anyway, it's after.
Are you going to tell me? You have to tell me the reason. You can't not tell me now.
You've gotten there. I mean, you
guessed it. You did good.
Oh, okay. Okay. He's okay. All right. I didn't know there was a bigger reason than that.
Dustin, I tell you that. Well, Dustin with hair, I tell you that because of the fact that. We've had to educate her a few times, and our buddy Jason Culler had to let her know who Charlie Pride was,
right.
And her rationale was because he wasn't alive.
That's Lansdale's uncle, isn't it?
Right.
that's the rumor on the street. I don't really, movies and music are not my strong points, and they just get highlighted on this podcast.
That's lucky quality. That he knows that that's Lansdale's uncle. Yep. That's
Lansdale. The best part. Oh, Lansdale.
Let's do this, Dustin. Let's, as you know, the format of this podcast is very relaxed, unscripted, and we just like to have a conversation. And you fill out a form. We send a form to every guest, and you fill out a form. And even in a year and a half, you've got a list, a laundry list of stories that you can jump into that you can discuss. And I want to start it off by talking. Let's talk about the heat being on for four basketball games. You can't shut the heat off. So let's.
Right.
That's the synopsis of what we have. So why don't you just dive in and tell us that story?
Right. So, you know, one of the facilities that we use for basketball games, the facilities managers, they're required to be there. Like, not only I have to be there, they have to be there. We work together. The facilities manager just happened to be on vacation. And they made us aware that he was going to be on vacation, that somebody else was going to be in that role. The only problem is the person in that role didn't have the background knowledge that the person who's usually there has. And this person is on a cruise, so he is not going to answer a call or answer a text. Like, he's gone. and they leave on Fridays. So their campus is open. They leave on Fridays. Nobody's there. So, like, administration, everybody's gone. So it's literally just us. And so it's a four game night. You start them at 4:30, even on a six game or just a two game night where we start at 6:00. I'm always there by 3:00 just so I can make sure, hey, everything's good. Like, the heater's working, bathroom. Like, you know, I do the pregame. And so since the game started at 4:30, that pregame time was just a little bit shorter. So I still get there when I can, and they open it for us. And I'm looking around, and I notice that it's getting hot in the gym. And so, you know, I turn all the fans on. I open the air vents. Like, we do everything we can to regulate it.
What month of the year is this?
This is December.
Okay.
Like, middle.
In Arkansas. Okay.
Right. So, I was saying, if you think it's hot.
In Florida. This is
December. Yeah, so if you think it's hot in December, then it's probably really hot in there.
Right. And what we've learned to find out is, and so we've always said, you know, like, don't worry about turning the heaters on when we're here, because, you know, we bring a good amount of crowd. And so by the time body heat's in there, like, you're good. I mean, we don't need. And so you know, I'm like, the heat's on. It won't go off. The guy who's in place with the facility manager is like, I don't know how to turn it off. Like, it's electronic. Like, you got to contact somebody and they have to come. And so, like, we're trying all these people. And like I said, they're not there on Fridays. So nobody's answering the phone. And, you know, like, the parents are complaining. The officials start to complain. Like I said, it was never to the point to where the kids were in jeopardy. I mean, it never probably, you know, it was warm in there. You could tell it was uncomfortable. But as far as, like, the kids in the no-sleeve shirts and shorts running around, like, they were good. Like, they didn't care. But, you know, the people that brought their jackets in or – you know, people who are used to it being just a perfect certain temperature nowadays, you know, they were a little uncomfortable. We like I said, we had all four fans going, like, on all four corners of the court. This is a little old gym. You know, we had the air vents up top going. I mean, we tried to do everything we can. Every quarter we were wiping the floors because the floor got a little slick just because of, you know, just the humidity in there. So we made it through, and it was the first game of the year, you know, first year AD. You know, your boss can only come to a certain amount of games. Like, this was the first game that my boss had been to all year. Great crowd, great money. You know, like, everything looks good, but it's hot, you know. So it was trying to navigate those waters. And, you know, so
made sure. I don't know, Dustin, I'm sure, no hair, Dustin. I'm sure you have never been to hot yoga before, have you?
That is a big negative. I've been to hot yoga as many times as I've been to Disney World or Disneyland.
So, anyway, I really enjoy hot yoga, and I just have this, like, vision of that in, like, playing in a basketball gym, because hot yoga is extremely difficult. It is very hard to focus on things when you're overheating like that. So right. I know you're saying it wasn't too hot and just a little uncomfortable, but if you're also saying the floors were getting wet, I'm gonna go ahead and say you're downplaying that heat a little bit, and then it was probably hotter than that.
Well, I mean, it's just one of those situations. If we thought that at any point, like, the kids were getting too hot, I mean, we would have shut that thing down. But it was just like, it's such a little, I mean, it's just a little itty bitty gym. You know, and so when people are full, like, it just feels uncomfortable quick. Like, I grew up playing in no air conditioning gyms, and I know for a fact that I played 30 degrees hotter than anything in there. It's just the fact that that situation was different than the norm. You know, yeah. They're so used to the norm, and this is how it's supposed to feel, and this is how it's supposed to be. And so now that we know that it's just, you know, it's a little bit warmer, like I said, to the point where it's uncomfortable, but it's not, you know, unfathomable. Like I said, we care more about the kids than anything. And if there was ever a point where the coaches and players are like, it's too hot to play, we know that the 99% of the complaints were fans and 1% complaints were the officials, and the coaches and kids were like, we're good. Like, it's warm, but, like, that's better than being cold. So, I mean.
Yeah. Did you have any Nelly playing? Is your music hot, like, during timeouts?
No, because the next line would be bad, Dustin.
Right.
There is some Nelly on that soundtrack. I'm a big Nelly fan. So.
I mean, oh, man. Well, this is a perfect example of what we're talking about, though. Like, you have no control. You know there's a problem. You cannot fix it. Your boss is there. People are complaining. And you just are like, uh-huh, yep. I'm hot too. Like, there's nothing that you can do.
And then at the end of the day, it was a great night. Like, our teams won all four games. It was a great crowd, made a lot of gate money. Booster Club's happy because the concession stand made a lot. Like, it was just warm. And at that time, there's nothing you can do. But now, since December of my first year, that rest of that basketball season and all through this basketball season, it was, hey, is the gym going to be hot tonight? Well, I hope not. Like, you know, I get that question every single night. Oh, I'm glad it's not hot in here tonight. Well, me too. Like, I didn't do that on purpose.
Yeah, did you tell them? I don't have a personal cold front right over where I'm standing. And so this
year, that Arkansas weather, we had a snowstorm come through that wiped out a week of school because there was 2 inches of snow on the ground or whatever. So it cut out our whole week. And the pipes bursted at our rental gym, and it knocked out the heater, so we just had emergency heat. And at the very beginning, I'm like, man, we're not going to have any heat. But then I'm instantly like, you know what? That's probably a good thing because now it can't overheat. So, you know, no heat's probably better than heat. So here we go.
Was it?
Ramp up the second
was
half.
The no heat better or was it still cold?
No, the no heat was better. So we had homecoming that week. And so we get a notification, hey, you know, the pipes bursted. It knocked out the back hallway. Like the emergency heat's not on. But like it didn't touch the floor. It didn't touch the public bathrooms. Like all that stuff's good to go. And so we're like, okay, well, we're good to go. And so we finally get back in school. They finally get somewhere where I can look at the facilities. We go through. Locker rooms look great and everything. We just noticed that, like, that back hallway where the locker rooms are, it's cold. Like, it's definitely cold back there. But the gym's staying at about 72 degrees. Like, it's just right where you want it for a basketball game. Like, it feels good. So, you know, I went and bought a bunch of heaters and made sure that the locker rooms were getting heated, you know, during the game so that it was warm in there by the time they got there. But then the day before the game, we go up there and they started repairing quicker than they thought they were going to. So it knocked out both of our boys' locker rooms. Like you can't use them. And so there's the girls' locker room and then there's another girls' locker room. And then there's the ice machine room and then there's the training room and the laundry room. Those were affected the most. Like, you're not using those at all. And so then where the officials usually go in both boys' locker rooms were out. So there was a big gymnastics room with a bunch of glasses. And so for homecoming, we're like, okay, we'll put the homecoming court in there because they're going to like the big mirrors anyways. Like, that's great for them. You know, when they get done and they get changed out, then about halftime of the girls' game, we'll let the boys go in there. That's where they're going to be. We're good. We're going to label everything so everybody's not confused on where to go. So we moved the refs to another little office, but it was better because it could heat it up quicker. And then the away team, they had a classroom out in the hallway, but we made sure it was locked and they were right there by the boys' bathroom. So it was easy access and they had a TV and a whiteboard. So they probably preferred that better than their normal locker room. But, you know, it's just one of those where here's the situation. You got to think on your feet, make sure it gets done. And we got it done. Like I said, the gym the rest of the year felt great. It was just, hey, the locker rooms are going to be cold. These are steps we're going to have to take to make sure the locker room's warm. You know, the locker room bathrooms don't work, but the public bathrooms do. Just letting everybody know, you know, you send your game day emails out early, like, hey, this is our ticket link. Hey, this is what we're dealing with. I made sure to call the ADs and say, hey, you know, this is what the situation's going to look like when you're coming here. You know, everything's not normal, but everything's, you know, still doable, still playable. We're going to get it done. It's going to be a good night. So made it work.
I want to go back to the initial story about the heater not going off. You say no admin. I mean, they're not even there. The school that you're – or the facility right. that you're renting, the folks that know what's supposed to happen are not – they're MIA. They're not available. The facilities manager you rely on is on a boat somewhere off
The facilities manager that we're relying on, his real title is janitor, but it has been put in charge because there's no backup facilities manager.
So your rental facility situation just went from like kind of crappy to even crappier. Like, sorry, I'm not laughing.
No, I mean, like,
I'm laughing.
You know, but I mean, it's literally one of those things like, you know, me and him have, like, there's a problem and I can't contact the correct people to, like, help that problem. But I can contact just as many people as he can. Or I know just as much about the facility that he does because it's not your primary manager. It's your janitor who has that title tonight because
this is complicated.
It was.
And this is
that's
one.
That's a good way to put it. It's complicated.
And this is one facility, right? You're dealing with this times
right.
10 or whatever, right? More than that. So
Right. So
you drink a lot of caffeine?
I drink a lot of caffeine. I'm not a coffee person. I'm a Dr. Pepper person and I probably have too many. So but no.
I understand.
Oh, and then, you know, that's just your indoor sports. Like, that's not weather. When you start thinking about your soccer field.
But it is weather.
Well, yeah, I guess so. But you start talking about, like, you pray your lights don't shut off in the middle of the game. Like, because once again, everything's electronic now.
Yep.
So, you know, you pay for this time slot and you can communicate as much as you want to communicate. But, like, if you're not physically the one saying, I need the lights to go off at this time, then you're just hoping for second, third person communication that, hey, the lights aren't going to shut off right in the middle of a game. So
I've had that happen. I was trying to be by the baseball softball field. We were at a baseball game. It got delayed due to lightning. And then we were playing, and like towards the end of the game, I was at the game. Towards the end of the game, we're sitting in stands enjoying the game, and the lights go out. Because they're all on a timer, right? It's the schedule. The county sets the schedule, the beginning of the season, all of that, because it's not my facility. And I'm scrambling to try to figure out how to turn them back on, right? Like, it's not my facility. I can't go in and, like, turn them back on myself. By the time I get somebody to come out and manually turn them on, and then the lights have to, you know, those lights had to cool down before they would turn back on. And, like, all of this is happening, and you feel stupid, like you have no control over the situation, and like you can't even stop it from happening. And it was all because of, you know, the weather delay. But I feel your pain on that, and it's almost like you have PTSD. Like every time I had like a baseball game thereafter, I was like, what time are they scheduled to go off? And like, who can I call at 11 if the game is not over and it's 10:45 and it doesn't look like it's going to be over?
It makes your checklist even bigger. You know, like you double and triple check. Cause that happened last year in soccer for us. We played soccer, same situation, like lightning was coming. We had to delay the game. I knew it was going to be delayed. The lights are on probably an hour later than usual. Like this year, we've got it moved closer to where we can start at 5 like everybody else in our conference. But because of our facility, we couldn't start the game till 6. And so you're looking at girls' game at 6, boys' game at 8 instead of 5 and 7. And so your help and everything goes. So we're already delayed. So it's already going to be a late night. And we've already went through the, you know, I texted the field manager and was like, hey, you know, we're delayed. Like it's going to go longer. Can we just bump the time, you know, up an hour and, you know, everything's good to go. And so I'm under the impression, you know, lights are going to turn off at 11. You know, and we're going to be good. And so I put that on the back of my mind. You know, soccer fans right now, it seems like in all of Arkansas, all the stories you listen to, like soccer has become this thing where there's more parent problems in soccer as far as fans getting into it than any other sport. It's so like this year, our conference said, hey, you're going to go sit on the other side. So like our fans are split. Well, the facility we use, that's not an option. We only have one side, so we still can't follow those rules.
Of course
rules.
You do. Of course you do.
So anything to make us different. So we can't put anybody over. So we're, there's some parent things, nothing extreme. We're good. But already because of the delay, the game's carried on longer. But I'm like, hey, we're good. So it's a high-scoring soccer game in conference where you have to finish it. There's a minute and 46 seconds left.
Oh, no.
Yep. We are up. We are up 4-3. And the other team is trying as hard as they can. Like the last couple seconds.
Oh, no.
Like it's been, they've tried to score on us, corner kick. They tried to score on us, corner kick. Like they're all over us. Now we're up 1. And light's supposed to stay on until 11. As soon as it hits 10 o'clock, they try to score on us. It gets hit out of bounds. Light shuts off. Like, no lights. Minute 46. We're up 1. And I'm thinking, you know, of course, you're like, hey, if we don't play this, we win. But we know we got to finish it out. So so I'm calling, trying to get the lights back on. And so we finally get a hold of somebody. They can get the lights back on. But it's going to take the lights 20 minutes. And so now we're waiting 20 more minutes to play a minute and 46 seconds. But we've got to play it. Like we've got to play it. And the away team is about to corner kick. Like they're threatening. Like they're down there. They're rolling. And so we're waiting on the lights to turn on. And they finally get going. And so then The game starts.
Everyone has to like re-warm up. Like
right. Yeah. Everything happens, and so then they take the corner kick, and they score. And so now we're tied 4-4. And not only do they score at the end, and we lose 5-4. So just the worst night that could possibly happen. You get a lightning delay, the lights go out. You're up one. You come back from the lights going out. The other team scores two and wins the conference game. I mean, just not your most ideal night. And you're just like, all right, I want to go home and go to bed. It's almost 11 o'clock now. That poor team's got to get back on the road and go home. Like,
I mean, that's a great response.
Yeah. That's how I felt that whole night, just from the lightning delay, the little parent interaction.
And but you did what you should have done. Like, you did it. You thought it was scheduled. It wasn't. Like, it. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that that's the situation that you have to deal with on a daily basis for every single one of your sports. That is a lot. Kudos to you. And in your first couple of years of being an AD too, right? So not only are you trying to, like, figure out all the stuff that, you know, ADs who have facilities on campus have, you're also trying to manage all this. I mean, that's, you're talking about a lot of extra contacts, a lot of extra organization, a lot of extra planning, a lot of extra communication with your parents and your coaches. That is, I mean, these are relatively small stories for how big of the stories you could probably have with your resume.
Let me ask you this question, Dustin with hair. So I don't know that I need to say that because
it's
I
so mean, funny.
Dustin's asking it. Dustin.
I was about to say, wait, I think if you're talking, we know who the other right. Dustin is. Okay.
I'm just trying to play by the rules. You got to understand, Dustin. Danielle makes her own rules up, so they change as they go along. But anyway, so my question is, do you know where the switch is now for the heaters in your basketball facility? Do you know where these things are in case this event happens where your facilities guy for that place is not present? So if that event happens again, do you know how to turn down the heat?
Well, and like I so it's all electronic. It's all automated. So like if you know, the only thing I can control are the exhaust fans. So like even if I went and messed with the heater, you know, like it's not going to do anything for me. Like there's an override. Like you've got to be able to get in there and flip it. Like I can't do nothing about it. So like that's why I said the only thing I can do is say a prayer before I get there, show up about 3 hours early, and if it's a little warm, then I turn those exhaust fans on. And then, you know, like I said, our facilities manager, when he's there, you know, he can contact, you know, kind of who to get. But like I said, we went through this whole year and the gym felt perfect. You know, it was just one of those instances where just every single thing that could line up.
The year is not over.
Well, I meant the
that facility. I heard you just knocked on wood.
Yeah, I knocked on wood. That facility's over. No more events at that facility. So that facility, that ordeal is over.
I love that you sneaky tried to knock on wood and we heard it.
But no, so that's it's just, but and also in year two, you know, like that relationship's even better. You know, I think that my biggest deal, you know, because when we got here, we were using yellow school buses because we don't have transportation. So we were using, you know, when I was the girls basketball coach here, it was, you know, these are school bus drivers. They get done with their route with another school and then they come pick you up and they take you to the gym. And so, you know, like I said, I was used to going and getting my own bus and leaving when we wanted to leave and stopping when we wanted to stop. And so like now you're relying on another company and they might be 30 minutes late, which means like now you're only going to get to the gym 15 minutes before you're supposed to play. And so when I looked at how much we were paying them, I was like, I can get a legit charter bus for that, like for that same price. And like, we'll go, you know, to other schools and these big old charter buses, like it's the state tournament because I mean, that's what the budget is. We're paying the same for the school buses. And so, but you know, that just involves sitting down, having a conversation, talking about what your needs are, you know, developing that relationship. Like we use 10 different facilities and I felt like everybody kind of looked at us as a cash cow for them, but it was like, hey, like, we don't have the money to be a cash cow. Like, we are literally doing this because, like, we don't have any other choices. But it's like, you know, you need to know who the person is on the other side of that conversation and going and sitting down with them. And so I feel like in year two, you know, there's interim superintendents or there's, you know, different people in charge at all of our facilities. But this year it's been more of like, hey, like, this is what we need. We're way more forthcoming with scheduling. Like, we get everything out more. We've developed those conversations. And so, you know, when I got here, you know, we have 36 coaches. When I took the job, there was 25 openings. And so first year AD, the summer, I'm hiring 25 people. Like, I'm sitting in those interviews. I'm going through it. And the biggest thing I've learned in these 2 years is like I would rather my coach be great at communicating with parents and with their players and us kind of work through the sports coaching part of it. Like, communicate with the parents, like, keep those problems for yourself to a minimum, because those are the ones that make your job miserable. Because I've been there, I know. And then, you know, my knowledge, as far as, I was fortunate enough to go to a small school where I played all the sports, and then I've coached at small schools where I was coaching all the sports. Like, I can help you with that sports knowledge if you felt like it's weaker, you know. So, you know, my soccer coach has done a great job communicating with parents. He was an assistant soccer coach before he took over his head. But, like, if he ever had a question about soccer, like, we can talk about soccer. You know, like, that's not a big deal. But it's just like, you know, solve those problems for you first. And if we need to have a conversation about your sports coaching, like, we can do that, because that's something that I can help you build. Like, I'm always going to help you with the communication problems too. But, like, to do our job effectively with all these facilities and all these changes and stuff, like, you've got to be a great communicator. You know, we don't have time to spend a year training you to be a great communicator, because if you're not, like, there's just too many instances where something can go wrong. You know, if you make a bad call during a game or whatever, like, you know, you might still – basketball is so quick, there's so many different, you know, things that can happen where you can recover from that. But, like, you can't be a bad communicator in this job, right? So,
well, I think here's the big takeaway for me. I mean, you mentioned it, relationships and building those relationships are vital. And it doesn't matter if you're at a public charter school or you're at the largest high school in Oklahoma. You've got to take time to build those relationships, and that's important. Especially when you rely on others, like your facilities, you're relying on other people, and you've got to learn, not only you got to build those relationships, you got to know who to build them with.
Right.
And so that takes time on your part.
Yeah, I agree, Dustin. I mean, relationships is definitely a huge takeaway here and how important they are. But it also sounds like you've really kind of, you took your first year to figure out what worked and what didn't work. And you kind of have a plan for this is what makes it go easier. Clearly the heat worked. One time.
Yeah, and then it didn't work.
But then it didn't work anymore. I feel like you've done a great job. I mean, I could just hear like the confidence in your voice of this is what we need to do to be successful in this situation. And I mean, you've only been there for what, a year and a half? Like, that's impressive as it is. So kudos to you for all of this work you're doing for your kids, because if somebody, you pretty much just said you need 25 coaches openings and you had no facilities, and like, you took that challenge on. That is not a little challenge. That's a large challenge.
Well, and I think a lot of it is, you know, like, go ahead and get thrown to the fire, you know, and I think that, like, that's kind of been my career path. So when I graduated from Arkansas Tech, I probably put in 40 applications for jobs and was just trying to find, you know, somebody to hire me. And then I got my first job at Hazen, Arkansas, which is 2A, and it was for head boys basketball, assistant football, assistant baseball. And I was 21 years old, and they're like, here you go. Like, here's a boys basketball program, like 7 through 12, and you're going to do these two sports, but like, have fun, like, let's go to work. And so, you know, I'd always been a head boys or head girls basketball coach. And then what helped me, I think, with this particular situation is I'd been in a bunch of different public schools all over the state. I'd been at a private school for a year. I was a coach at ESTEM for a year. So it was like, I kind of had that understanding of like what worked well at other places and what hadn't worked well at other places. And then even being a coach here before, like being able to say like, I've legit been the coach in your shoes without the facilities and like having to go through this. But also with 25 coaching openings and understanding like what facilities we use and what we didn't, like it was a good, like this is a clean slate. Like you're hiring the people you want to hire. Like you're kind of getting a fresh start. Like it's just kind of like the old regime isn't carrying over, like regardless of the job, like great job. Like the AD before me, he hired me. And, you know, even as the girls coach, I didn't understand what he was going through. And like, I felt like he, you know, mentored me for that role and kind of had more conversations with me than maybe he did other coaches. But like, I didn't know what it was like to step in these shoes until I stepped in these shoes. But it was kind of just, you know, you're getting to start over and you're kind of getting to build it the way that you want to build it, you know. And it's funny, like with these openings, if there's a cheer position open, I get 50 applications. If there is a soccer coach opening, I am calling around asking for somebody to please apply. Like it's just, you know, like in certain sports, like I'll have a long list of people who want to work. And then it's just, you know, some jobs, it's just like, man, like, what are we going to do in this position? You know, are we going to have an open position or combined? So our girls, our soccer coach, he's head boys and head girls this year. He's got assistants with him, but I mean, he's a one man show up there as far as the head goes. Cause we couldn't find another girls coach. So,
but you do that. So kids have a chance to be successful. They have a chance to compete. And you mentioned that earlier, you were taking care of kids and you knew it wasn't. Mm-hmm. It wasn't comfortable in the gym, but it didn't mean that it was unbearable. They couldn't play. So you're still looking out for kids and doing the best you can. And every school has, I'll say this, every school has an underbelly. It's not rainbows and unicorns everywhere you're at. Mm-hmm. And so you're dealing with certain things, or to use Disney terminology, it's not smiles everywhere. It's not a fairy tale ending everywhere you're at, whatever. I just think that we need to understand that we're blessed where we're at, and we make the most of where we're at, no matter where that is, and no matter what situations we are dealing with.
Yep, and what that looks like, you know, what it looks like for Dustin with hair is very different than what it looks like for Dustin without hair, or for somebody who's down the street, you know. So I think you brought a lot of really good insight and unique perspectives and ideas to what could it look like, right? What kind of situations are ADs dealing with? And, you know, you're not going to be the only one who doesn't have any facilities like this. So I really hope, you know, people find a lot of value in that and the relationship piece as well. So I really appreciate you coming on today and talking about this, because that's a left me speechless a couple times.
It's an adventure. And it was so, like, you know, I go to that first athletic director conference like in the state, you know, and you want to make sure that everything's up to date, whatever. And people start talking about emergency action plans, and I'm like, I have 14 facilities to do this with, like,
yeah.
So, and you start talking about, and so then you go through the list, and kind of like Dustin said with the heat, and like, now I know what to do when the heat is still on. Like, that's what I learned from year one, what to do when the heat won't turn off. And so two hit me with, okay, now the heat doesn't work. Now what are you going to do? Like, here's your new situation. Like, I'm prepared for the heat not to go off, but now it's like, hey, the heat don't work anymore. Like, what are you going to do now? So
yeah, it's always growing and always learning.
When you go to work and you're always wondering what your voicemail is going to say, or you've got that list and something always pops up. So yeah, that's the life we live. You never know what the next day is going to bring, but it's fun, you know. So.
And here's what I'll close with. I'll thank you for taking the time. Thank you for listening, number one, and I thank you for wanting to be a guest on here, number two. Thank you for taking your time and telling stories. But I will tell you that Dustin with hair, this is what you have to look forward to. Dustin without hair, after 20 plus years of doing this, you may end
Don't
up.
Don't scare with, him.
You may end up with Dustin without hair like me.
Oh man, don't let that scare you. You're doing great.
We're looking forward to it. I mean, that's at the end of the day, you know, I still get the AAU coaching in the summers, but it's like, you know, do you miss coaching? But I kind of feel like whether you are a principal or whether you're an AD or whether you're a coach, like I enjoy building a team and seeing what my team does. And so the way to get over like the missing the practices and the missing the coaching, like, you know, I'm in charge of 36 coaches, but like they're my new team. And so to be able to see them succeed, like you're always building that team. You're always building that network. And like, it's always a challenge. Like I might not be drawing up plays on a basketball court anymore, but I'm responsible for the person. I'm responsible for that person who's drawing up the plays. So.
You might as well be. You got X's and O's, got kids going from here to here. I mean, might as well be.
Right.
Well, I appreciate you coming on today. This has been a great enlightening conversation for sure.
Well, I appreciate you all for having me. So
that wraps up this episode. Thank you for listening, and thank you to our sponsor, Wall of Fame, who excels at telling your school's stories and supports us in telling ours. Check out the description of this episode for a link to receive a discount on all Wall of Fame products. We are looking forward to the next story and hope you are too.